Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 11 is where we're at. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We come before you, Lord, asking you to help us. God, help us to love you with everything we've got. Help us to take heed to your word, to listen to it, and to understand what you've ordained, that it's through the foolishness of preaching, Lord, that people are saved, that we are saved, and Lord, that we also grow, and that we are warned and protected. Lord, I pray you would just help us to have open hearts. God, I pray you be real in our lives, that us coming here on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesdays, soul winning, whatever we may do, it doesn't become some just religious thing that we do, God, but we do it because we want to serve you. God, and we would serve you with a heart of joy and gladness, thankfulness, Lord, for all we have. Lord, help us not to backslide. It's so easy to do, God, for all of us. I pray you'd help us. Help us to take heed, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I've titled this one, Take Heed to the Preaching. Take Heed to the Preaching. And obviously, with that, the context is going to be biblical preaching. We want Bible-based preaching. A key component to not backsliding is that we would take heed to the preaching of God's Word. I mean, that's fairly important right here, and that's what we just got through looking at. We looked at these ministry-gifted men. As we go through chapter 4... It says that there's one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So every one of us has grace given to us. It's a gift from Christ. And then now get this here. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So at Christ's ascension, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That means those that were in Abraham's bosom were able to go to heaven now because the payment had been made. And it was at his ascension that happened, that he led captivity captive. But also at that same time, he gave gifts unto men. Okay, now, verse 9 is a parenthesis of what 8's talking about. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Just real quick, I'm just throwing this in here. A lot of people say Jesus never went to hell. I tend to disagree based on what the Bible says right here. He went to the lower parts of the earth. You had hell in Abraham's bosom. You can see that in Luke 16, I believe it is, with the rich man and Lazarus. Was it Lazarus? No, the poor beggar. Maybe it was Lazarus, I think. But anyway, there's Abraham's bosom and there's hell, okay? And Jesus he descended into the lower parts, plural, of the earth. It's just, I believe he went to hell. I believe he was also in Abraham's bosom. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So, that's the parentheses, is verses 9 and 10. Now we go back to verse 8. It says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now I'm not saying we ignore verses 9 and 10, but just so we can understand it, we're going to go to verse 11. So he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave, so what are the gifts? What are the gifts that he gave? We're about to hear what these gifts are. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Those are the gifts. He gave ministry gifted men. That's what he did. That means the pastor that you have, me, I'm a ministry gifted man God put here for your benefit. And we're about to see why. That's why I say we need to take heed to the preaching of God's word, because God says you're going to need this, and I'm going to have some men specifically for this purpose to feed you, to protect you, to guide you. Ministry gifted men. We fit into the category, and some pastors and teachers, also evangelists. Amen. I'm not an evangelist. I'm doing the work of an evangelist. We actually just started that yesterday. Amen. Do the work of an evangelist. Go start churches. That's what we're doing. I'm a pastor that's doing the work of an evangelist. Now, there is an evangelist that goes and starts churches. That's their whole purpose. They'll say, I'm going to go start this church, be here for 2 years, 5 years, whatever. Bam, I'm going to go start another one. We'll get someone to come in here, take that. I'll go take it. I'll start another church. I'm going to do the same thing. Then I'll go do another one. Same thing. We're doing it different. I'm a pastor doing the work of an evangelist. Amen. Amen. It's the Great Commission. So he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So a key component to not backsliding is that we take heed to the preaching of God's word. God said, I'm raising up men specifically to help you not backslide. More than just that, but to help you not follow false doctrine, to help you grow. But if we do these things, we won't backslide. The Word of God gives us the spiritual nourishment we need to withstand attacks against us spiritually. When we get down and defeated and beaten, we need to turn to the Word of God. That's when we need to be in church all the more, not all the less. When we're down and discouraged, it's when we need to be around the preaching of the Word of God. We need to hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why, look, we strive so that the ladies aren't in more than one time in the nursery a week. Because I don't want you missing the preaching. You need the preaching. We all need the preaching. Amen. So we strive to make it so that you don't have to miss more than one service a week. We don't want that for anyone. I get it, sometimes it's going to happen, but we all need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. How are we going to take heed if we don't hear it? How is the gifts that God gave to His church, how are they going to benefit you if you can't hear them? We've got to be around it. We need it. And God knows we need it. God in His infinite wisdom knew exactly what we needed to protect us spiritually, His Word, the preaching of His Word, through ministry-gifted men. He knew we needed those messengers who could convey it in a way that people will receive it. God knew that. I mean, we can go to Acts chapter 8 and we can look at the Ethiopian eunuch reading the Bible. He's reading scripture and Philip runs to him. The Holy Ghost says, hey, join thyself to that chariot. Philip goes running after that chariot and he sees he's reading Isaiah and he says, understandest thou what thou readest? And Philip says, how can I except some man should guide me? He said, I need some man. I need a ministry gifted man. Philip the evangelist. Amen. I can't understand it. I need someone to teach me. That's where every single one of us is at. Every one of us. We need people to teach us. I still have teachers, by the way. I read a lot of books. I'm constantly reading. You know, those are teachers. Those are teachers. Because He knew what we needed, He gave us preachers. A true biblical preacher is one that preaches God's words. Not my opinion, God's words. Not their opinion, God's words. That's a true biblical preacher. When Christ ascended, the gifts He gave were preachers. Now that should tell us how important it is to take heed to the preaching to our spiritual vitality, our spiritual strength. Is that God, as He ascended up, He says, oh yeah, one last thing. You need preachers. I'm going to give them to you. It should tell us how important it is to be around the preaching of God's Word. It's that important. A major key for us not to backslide is that we take heed to the preaching of God's Word. We have to give special attention and priority to biblical preaching. That's why this is the main focus of our church. It always has been. This is what I want everything we do to be centered around biblical preaching. Preaching of the Word of God. Everything that we do, I think our tracts still say it. Let me look. I'm going to look now. These are the new ones. Yep. Sorry. Yesterday I got sneezes coming and going. They don't want to stay here. Happen again. Look, just one of the, I guess, the focuses of our church right there, biblical preaching in the tracks. I want that to be everything. Amen. This is what the focus is. You get back to New Testament Christianity, we say, oh, the Acts of the Apostles. That's a history. This is how we're supposed to do things, except we don't do it like that. Right. Except we don't. If we just get back to the Bible, the focus was preaching. Not programs, preaching. Preaching. This is what we need. This is what will build a strong church, strong individuals, strong disciples, is preaching the preaching of God's Word. That's what God says, you need this. He says, look, I am giving not program directors. When He ascended up on high, He said, I'm setting program directors down. I'm sending down entertainers. No, He didn't do that. I'm telling you right now. He said, I'm going to send you preachers. I'm giving you preachers to preach My Word. That's what God said we needed. That's what God said we needed. We need preachers. We're asking for shipwreck in our lives if we're going to ignore even the smallest things in the Word of God. I'm telling you, when you start ignoring parts of the Word of God, where do you stop? Where do you stop? Any of you ever given into your flesh and you said, just a little bit so I can, the temptation will go away. And then after that little bit, the whole cake is gone.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't work how we think. That appetite's strong. It could be anything. Anything. Just one more gun. Yeah. Just one more. It can be anything. It doesn't subside it, it just builds it. It gets stronger.
Amen.
So if we're going to ignore certain things, then we better expect shipwreck. The preaching of God's Word is necessary to perfect us, to protect us, and to build us in the faith. That's what it's for. That's what we just read right here. The Word of God will perfect us, protect us, and build us in the faith. In protecting from backsliding, if we take heed to the preaching, it will grow us as individuals. Look at verses 12 and 13. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, as you look at this right here, as we see verses 12 and 13, and then later you get to verses 15 and 16, it's almost like it's saying the same thing. You're like, what's it? This is saying the same thing. Now, as I was studying this out, I got a light bulb moment and I like it. That's another nugget God gave me. Maybe you've seen it before. I haven't, and I like it because I've always kind of wondered about that and God showed me. And as I was looking at verses 12 and 13, I realized that's dealing with the individual. That's dealing with building up, growing the individual. Verses 15 and 16 deal with building the Lord's body, this local assembly. That's the difference. That's why it seems like it's saying the same thing. But there's a distinction there. We'll get to more of it as we break down the passages. But to protect us from backsliding, we need to take heed to the preaching, and it'll grow us as individuals. One of the main goals of preaching is to get us into the work of the ministry. Look at it, verse 12. He gave these pastors and teachers, okay, because that's specifically what applies to us right here. He gave the pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, so the maturing, the growth, that's where we get that. It'll grow us as individuals. So the perfecting of the saints, for what? The work of the ministry. One of the main goals of preaching is to get you busy in the work of the ministry.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says, right? We're Bible-believing church, aren't we? That's what the Bible says. It's to get you serving God. It's to get you beyond just showing up here. That's a good thing. We need that. But it's to get you beyond that. It's to get you out of this pew, not just when the service is over that you get out and go home. But no, it's to get you out of this pew and serving God. That's what the ministry gifted men are for. That's what the preaching of God's Word is for the perfecting of the saints, so you can grow, mature, be built up, but also to do the work of the ministry. It's not just like, hey, that's a preacher's job. No, no, no. Lose that whole idea right there. That's Catholic right there. Lose that whole idea. I know most of us in here were raised Catholic. That's Catholic. That's nonsense. That is unbiblical. We don't follow that model. No, no, it's we as a body do the work of the ministry. Anywhere I go, my body goes with me and does it. Amen. It's to get us involved in the ministry. That's what it's for. Not one of us should be content not serving God in ministry, not ministering in some way, shape, or form, not doing something for the Lord. I mean, every one of us ought to be evangelizing. Every one of us, no excuse, period. Every single one of us should be evangelizing. Every one of us. There's more ways we can serve, though. We can come clean the building, clean the property. You see something needs done, do it. You can sing a special. I mean, you can do all sorts of things. You can sing out during the service. Amen? That's a good one right there. Hey, you can make food for when we have the food after the service every week. You could do something like that. Bring supplies, anything. Volunteer in the nursery, all that stuff. That's getting involved in the ministry. Every one of us should be involved somehow. We should not be content not serving. Let me encourage all of us something here. This can revolutionize your family, can change your family. Man, this is good right here. Get your pens out, write this one down. This is good, I'm telling you right now. Amen. Every one of us should serve together with our families. Oh, it is working. Okay. Every one of us should serve together as a family. Amen. That is a great way to serve God. A great way. I mean, we've had some of the best times has been serving God as a family. I mean, I was embarrassing Janessa last week about the dog chasing her. There was another time we had. We found a fake spider on the floor. Oh, man, it was good. It was better than I thought it was going to be. Okay, I found it, and it was just a fake little plastic spider. And I hear Janessa catch, and I said, it's a spider. And she freaked out. She's like, ah! And I mean, she was jumping, running back. And then she got that look in her face. She was probably like 14. She got that look in her face like she wanted to kill me. And if it was her brother, she would have. But she looked and saw it was me, and she was like, and she was mad, but we laugh about it now. It's good times. It's good times. I mean, yesterday Kiko had an older gentleman. He was in his 80s, I think, is what he said. Come and he like assaulted him. I don't know any other way to say it. I mean, he assaulted him, but he was just like an old man. I mean, he was in his 80s and he came up and tried to choke him, but he was like, he kind of just like pinched my neck like this. And Kiko and Isaiah just kind of like laughed at him, I guess, is what they did. But now we look back and that, man, that's funny to think about. You know, I mean, hey, these are good times that we have serving God together. You're like, some of you are like, what? He got assaulted? I'm not even going out there with you guys. You're crazy. You're already in the war zone. What is wrong with you? No, it's good times. We had a great reception out there. I'm telling you, we had a better reception over there. I'll just be honest with you. Then we get over here.
Yep. Amen.
We're more better received over there than over here.
Right.
But they all need the gospel. But man, serve God with your family. You'll have so many good memories. I'm telling you right now, things will happen. Even just, man, look at how many of us came in here red-faced today. I mean, look at just that. Man. Remember when we all went out and we all came back with sunburns on our face? Well, I did. I mean, my head even. It's mostly my head. It's still warm. But hey, that happens. You know, it's just stuff to laugh about, but good memories. See, I want good memories serving God.
Amen.
That's what I want our memories to be as a family, my family. Serve God with your family. It's wonderful.
Amen.
I mean, man, load up the kids and go. Load them up and go. Man, get your whole family up here and sing. Even if you don't sound good. Get them up and sing. Miss Susanna, you can do it too. She said, okay, no. It's all right. Just do it together as a family. It's good. The person that can't sing very well can just like come in when everyone's singing real quiet. All right. I mean, that's how you can do that. All right. I don't sing good, but I like to sing. Amen. Do it as a family. 1 Corinthians 9:5 says this. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? See, it's biblical right there. Paul's saying, don't we have power to bring about a sister, a wife? The other apostles do it. Serve God with your family. What a great way to grow together. To grow together. As individuals, we need to be built up and strengthened. Look at verse 12 again. It says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the edifying, the building up. Edify means to build up, especially in spiritual advancements, to grow, to strengthen. That's what it means to edify. Let me say, an environment of peace is optimal for edification. This is extremely important in our church, an environment of peace. As you study that word edify, there's a few instances. It's 15 times edify, or one of its synonyms is used. And it's, I think, like 3 times associated with peace or rest. There's peace is an environment that will build edification, that will build people up when there's peace. Look, there may be a war going on out there, but if we have peace in here in our homes, that can really build us up. We ought to come in here, and many times some people say, oh, in the sanctuary, that's exactly what this should be. When we come in to this place, wherever we meet, whether it's this building or it's in the forest, whatever, doesn't matter, wherever we meet, it ought to be a sanctuary for us. It ought to be a place of peace. Our homes ought to be a place of peace, not World War III. They ought to be a place of peace, because that's where people are going to be built up, strengthened, grow. Where we would grow, especially contextually looking at this in things of a spiritual nature. So the preaching of God's word is what we're speaking about. Giving heed to that is for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we would grow, that we would be built up. It's extremely important for our church is that we would have peace here. A Christian home should be a refuge from the onslaught of attacks that the world offers. Should be a refuge. We should be able to come home and say, oh, just I can put my guard down here. I don't have to be on guard all the time for all the things of the world. If we're growing as individuals, it will result in unity because we're all aiming to be like Christ. It says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, we can come in unity when we're all shooting to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's who we aim for. Don't aim for me. Man, you're going to... That's bad. If you're aiming to be like me, yes, you can follow me as I follow Christ, but don't strive to be like me. Okay? No, I'm going to fail you. I'm going to mess up. And in turn, you will mess up. Don't strive to be like me. Strive to be like Jesus. You can follow me as I follow Him. That's biblical. But we ought to be striving to attain to be like Christ. He's the measure of the stature of the fullness that we are looking at. Say, when I grow up, I want to be like that. Like what? Like Jesus. Amen. Amen. When I grow up, I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
That's what I want to be like, every one of us. And if we're all doing that, then guess what? There's unity. There's unity. That's good right there. You know, even though we may have some disagreements, we all agree that we should be like Christ. If we can keep that attitude, it's going to mold us to be unified. Look, some of you might not agree with the way I do things, maybe sometimes the way I say things, but if we're all striving to be like Jesus, we can be in unity. I may not agree with the way you do things or the way you say things, but if we're all striving to be like Christ, we can be in unity. That's a good thing. That we'd strive to be like Jesus, because there's a bunch of different personalities here. But if we're all striving to be like Christ, there can be unity, and that's what we want. Taking heed to preaching will also protect us from false doctrine and its messengers. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, he's saying, here's why I gave you these ministry-gifted men, that you are henceforth, from here forward, no more children tossed to and fro. God's design is for us to quickly move past the stage of being a child so that we can go on unto maturity and we won't have to face the spiritual dangers that children face. Some of those include being tossed about by every wind of doctrine that we hear. Now, I'm just telling you, if you just watch people when they first get saved, they'll get all zealous for God. And I'm telling you, they're going to be from one end of the spectrum to the other because they heard this preacher say this. And, ma'am, I believe this now. And they heard this one. No, I believe this over here now. Oh, these heretics, I'm coming back this way over here. I mean, they're tossed about with every wind of doctrine. That's a child. You could tell a child anything. I mean, you tell them, why is the sky blue? Well, you know, God shot, you know, a bullet that just sprinkles it all blue. And be like, oh, okay. They'll believe that. Why is the sun rise? Well, you know, God's got a string. He pulls it every morning and it just comes up. They'll believe anything. Children will believe anything you say. We all understand that. You can tell them anything. I mean, people trick their kids to do stuff and then record it and laugh at them. I mean, I'm not saying anyone in here has done that. But, I mean, they'll do stuff like that because you can trick your children. I mean, that's the nature of a child. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not wrong. That's the innocence of a child that they'll believe God for big things too. Amen.
Amen.
They'll put our faith to shame.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Because of the innocence of a child. If God said it, I believe it. Amen. I still think of Ellie praying when their car got stolen. Said, Lord, thank you for giving our car back. They didn't even have it. Bam, later that day they get a call. There's a car or the truck. What? I'm like, Lord, if it's your will, because I don't trust you and believe you, Lord, would you return the car? I mean, that's how adults pray. Kids are just like, thank you for already answering it. We know we got it. Amen. We're not like that. They just believe it. But the danger in that also is that they're tossed about, and that's what it's saying right here. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. So God says, I don't want you to stay a child. This is why I've given you the preaching of God's word, to help you not be a child. And as we follow these things, we won't backslide. We're not going to be a child carried about with every wind of doctrine. Look, a good example we can see just recently, publicly, politically, is all these children, you know, the Tide Pod generation. Seriously, I mean, why would we even say that? How ridiculous is this? I mean, but this is the nature of children. That's the nature of children. So we're letting children dictate how we run our country. I mean, I think back to the hippies. I'm like, a bunch of dummies. When they're all saying, you know, trust no one over 30. I'm like, you guys realize like in 10 years you're going to be over 30, right? I mean, did you stop and think about that one? Seriously, did you stop and think about that? So at that point, we should stop trusting you. Well, no, I know what I'm talking about. Sure you do. Sure you do. But that's the nature of children, even at that age, at 18, 19, 20, whatever it is. Tossed to and fro. You believe anything just about. If you heard it. If you read it on the internet, man, you can take it to the bank. Right? You guys have seen the meme, Abe Lincoln's. You know, you can't believe every quote you read on the internet. Listen to Abe. Okay. Some of you, I don't know if you all got that one. All right, some of you did. So God's design is for us to quickly move past the stage of being a spiritual child. So some of these dangers include being tossed about with every new doctrine they hear. Now the danger with the wind is it can start gently and progress to hurricane force. But we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Can start off, someone at work, Jehovah's Witness. You sure Jesus is God? And then the onslaught, you know. Here it comes. And they just get you to doubt just a little bit, and then they start throwing all these verses. What about this, and you can't answer any of it. You have zero answers for them. And you don't know, because you're a child. You don't know the Bible. You haven't learned it yet. So God says, what I want for you, hey, say people, what I want for you, get in a church that's going to preach the word of God and get grounded immediately and go. Go. Don't stay a child. Don't stay a child. Another danger, eventually being carried away by that false doctrine. So you'd be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but eventually being carried away. So that you be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So now you're in danger of just being tossed to and fro, but in that tossing that you get carried away with it, you get sucked off in it, and you end up in Calvinism. You end up a Jehovah's Witness or something. You get taken way over there. You end up following some false doctrine. It completely takes you. We don't want that either. That's the danger of not taking heed to the preaching of God's Word. There is more of a susceptibility to follow the personalities of false teachers. That's another danger. A huge susceptibility is following the personality of the preachers because, man, look at the charisma that he has, the manner in which he speaks or that she speaks. I mean, Joyce Myers was just here, you know, a couple weeks ago. I mean, she is manly. I mean, that woman is manly. I mean, bless God. I mean, she, have you seen her? I'm just saying. But they're charismatic people. They're good speakers. I mean, that's why a lot of people like President Obama. He could deliver a speech. You're lying if you say otherwise. Hitler could deliver a speech, mesmerize people. I mean, I've watched him, watched his videos. He's passionate. Man, people follow passion. And they did. They did. The preaching is to warn us, protect us from that. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. It comes through men. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's men out there lying in wait to deceive us. So what protects us from that, ministry gifted men? The preaching of God's word protects us from that. Seriously, that some people don't come through here. You will never know about it because I just know. Stop them at the door. Before you ever even hear from them, they won't come here. Why? Because it's my job. I'm like the guard dog here that protects the flock, the sheepdog. And I'm here to protect you so that that you don't even start to hear the winds of doctrine and get tossed to and fro with those winds of doctrine and then eventually get carried away because that's what happens. So people are susceptible, children especially, children in the Lord are susceptible to follow the personalities of false teachers. Let me say this, they always push themselves as a Bible preacher too. They do. I mean, all of them say we preach the Bible, we believe the Bible, we follow the Bible. The Apostle Paul was continually burdened about the danger of false teachers. We're going to look at a few examples. There's a bunch I can give you right here. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. If we would save your spot in Ephesians, go to Acts 20 and verse 29. Acts 20:29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves. He's talking to preachers here. That's the context of Acts 20, the pastors of the church of Ephesus. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Why? To draw away disciples after them. So here's what he tells them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you, everyone night and day with tears. He says, I warned you about that. I warned you they're coming. He was burdened about the danger of false teachers. We need to be burdened about the danger of false teachers. That's why we need to be grounded in the Word of God, grounded in sound doctrine. This is why God gave you a pastor, was so that you're not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. It is the Word of God through ministry-gifted men that will protect us from false doctrine. That is why it's important we're part of a church with a God-called and ordained man. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This is where the truth is sent forth, is brought forth. Does it mean we're the fount of all truth? No, but God says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is where it's at. So people that want to despise the Lord's church, His assembly, with all the problems that it has, amen, because we got problems, but with all the problems that we have, if people want to despise it, then they're despising what God said, and they are definitely not a part of the pillar and ground of the truth. They are willingly stepping into apostasy, stepping into error, stepping into heresy. They're choosing that. The Christian who is unfaithful to the church or who is in a weak or unscriptural church does not have this God-ordained protection from error and is in danger of being deceived. That's what it means for the Christian that's not a part of this. You're in danger of being deceived. This is why, you know, when I used to go soul winning, I'd say, you know, well, they'd tell us, well, what church do you go to? And I was trained, you know, tell them, well, we're not trying to take you from that church. I stopped doing that a long time ago because, yes, I am trying to take you from that church. That's exactly what I'm doing. That's why I'm here. To take you from that church. Why? So you can be part of the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Does it mean that there's no truth? Of course not. It wouldn't be effective if there was zero truth. If it was all lies, it wouldn't work. There has to be some truth there. If we're unwilling to take heed to the preaching, we're placing ourselves in a position to backslide. We're asking for it. We're saying, Lord, let me backslide. Let me get away from you. Let me despise you. Let me reject your word. Let me go live a wicked life. But as God's word takes root in our lives, we'll fill our positions in Christ's body, and by so doing, we'll build His body. As His word builds us up, as we take heed to it, we won't be tossed to and fro, but instead, we're going to fill our position. You know what? We get right back to verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. As we let God's word impact us, then what we're going to do is we are going to get involved and serve God. We're going to say, hey, that's my spot in the body. I want to fit right there. That fits real good right there. I'm a kidney, let me just stick it right in there. Oh, perfect fit. Working good. Oh, I'm a heart. Excellent. I'm the big toe.
Amen.
Amen. I like my big toe. I don't want to miss my big toe. I don't want to be a smelly toe. I better shower. It's all right. Wake up. Are you guys? It's okay to laugh. Amen. Maybe it wasn't funny. I don't know. All right. I thought it was. No? Love is the optimal environment for growth. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things.
Amen.
Love is the optimal environment for growth.
Right.
We need to love people. Love them. Biblical love. Love them. Love our families. That works there too. Love is still the optimal environment for growth. Love each other. Express that love. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Growth builds up, strengthens. Charity edifies. When we're willing to fill the spot that God has for us, we will be an effectual church on all fronts. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. We will be an effectual church on all fronts when we're willing to fill our spot.
Amen.
From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Every one of us, every member of Liberty Baptist Church, every one of you that's a member here, listen to this very carefully. When we are fitly joined together and compacted, then we will be an effectual church for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When every one of us is doing our part. We can't have one out, one missing. Every one of us. This is how highly we need to esteem the Lord's church. Just like we do our own body.
Amen.
That's why he gave the analogy, because we understand taking care of our own body. We understand what it's like when we have an ache or a pain or something, or we, you know, hit your hand with a hammer or something like that and it hurts, it affects your whole body. You know, if any of you have ever broken an arm or something like that, you can't really use it. You end up having to do everything with the other hand, however it works, and it makes things much harder. You're less effective. Doesn't mean you can't get things done, but you're less effective. That's the same thing for us. When all of us don't do our part, don't fill our spot, we are less effective as a church. We can still get things done, but we're not as effective as we could be. What if the mouth doesn't show up? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? How are we going to share the gospel? How are we going to hear preaching? How are we going to sing praises to the Lord? What if our feet don't show up? How are we going to go so we can deliver the message? See, we're all parts of this body, the same body, and we work together. And as we all fill our spot and work together, then it's effective.
Amen.
It's effective. And that's what God's design is. And it comes through the preaching of his word. He says, we'll fill our spot. So we looked at that and we see the first part of being built up. It's speaking to the individual. This part is speaking to the body. It goes on to say, that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Get this, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Increase of this body. I mean, I look at that and I say it's growing spiritually and physically. It will make increase of the body. This body will grow. People will be added here. And it will be built up. And unto the edifying of itself in love. Will be built up. Will be a stronger church scripturally. When we do what? When we take heed to the preaching of the Word of God. That's what we need to do. It's the Word of God that will perfect us. That will protect us. And that will build us up. As we take heed to that. And that's what can keep us from backsliding. That's what can keep our walk with God hot and on fire. I don't like it when it's cold. I don't like that. I don't want lukewarm. I'm not content with lukewarm either. I want it hot and on fire for God. Amen. But that happens when we each do our part in saying, hey, I need to be here. I need to be attentive to the Word of God. Not just be here, but be attentive to it, listening to it. I'm telling you, every time those doors are busted open, I ought to be here unless something's hindering me. Every time. Every time. Why? Because I need it. Amen. I need it. I want to be built up. I don't want to be tossed to and fro. I don't want to be carried away with false doctrine. And I want to be an effective church. I think everybody here, I think I can honestly say that everybody here wants to see people saved. So where are we fitting in so we can be effectual in the working of the measure of every part? Or do we have a joint out of place? Do we have a kidney failure? We're just working on one lung, one eye, one arm. If all of us do our part, there will be an increase of this body and a multiplication of churches. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. There's one of those verses of dealing with peace. They had rest. The persecution had stopped. Paul gets saved. Saul gets saved. And they stopped chasing them down like they were. And once they had rest, that peace was there. They were edified. They were built up. They were strengthened. And walking in the fear of the Lord. There you go with edification. It means we're walking in the fear of God. And walking in the fear of the Lord. You know what that means, walking in the fear of the Lord? That means we're afraid to disappoint Him. That means we're afraid to disappoint Him. We're afraid not to fit in our spot. Have you ever read through Leviticus and stuff like that? Have you ever read through Exodus where Aaron's sons didn't do things the exact way they were supposed to and it cost them their life? See, they stopped fearing God and they got sloppy about how they served Him and it cost them their life. The other two did not die after that, and I bet it was a long while. Anyone that witnessed that, said, I remember that. I bet there was a lot less liars in the early church thereafter. Ananias and Sapphira. Was it Ananias and Sapphira? Whichever ones it was. Ananias and Sapphira, after they dropped dead. Peter says, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Drops dead right there in the meeting house. Bam. Drag him out, bury him. Wife shows up. She doesn't know what happens. She gets there. Peter asks her, did you guys sell it for this much? She said, oh yeah. Well, those that buried your husband are here to bury you. Poof, drops dead. And it says the church feared. Whoa, I bet there was a lot less lying going on in that church right there. I'm sure why? Because they feared God. Hey, we fear God. Where are we going to fit in? I'm just telling you. The churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. A lot of times the reason we don't fit in our spot is because we don't fear God. We don't fear God. So we think, I'm okay. Next time. I'll do it next time. Okay. So, these churches had rest. They were edified. They walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And it says we're multiplied. When we all do our part. When we fit in our spot. When we take heed to the Word of God as it's being preached and we apply it to our lives. Churches will be multiplied. And we're seeing that. What is 1 times 2? 2. We're about to multiply. Can we do a better job? I think so. We always can. But just because we can always do better doesn't mean we make excuses and say, this is good enough. No. If that's our attitude, we're not walking in the fear of the Lord. We're not walking in the fear of the Lord. But I'm telling you, as we do this, man, look at the blessings. There'll be comfort of the Holy Ghost. We'll be multiplied. Amen, I want that. I can't wait till 2 turns into 4. And when 4 turns to 8. And when 8, I'm going to take my shoe off. I'm just kidding. I'm the stinky toe. All right? But I can't wait till it's multiplied. If we're willing to take heed. Father, we love you.